Grace to you and peace from God who creates and redeems and sustains all things. Amen. A few years ago, not long after we started regularly using bread every week instead of wafers, members started to begin to bake the bread. We take turns in baking the bread. And one day, I stood at the altar and I began to break the bread, and it had sesame seeds and cranberries in it. I panicked because Jesus, as you all know, is white. Bread. Or on a really, really good day, Jesus may be whole wheat, but he does not have nuts and berries inside. And I thought it must just be, it's just a one offer. It's no problem. It'll be fine. And so the next week, I came in early as I always do, and I thought, well, I wonder how this is going, but there was no bread there because it turned out she baked it on Sunday morning. And I waited, and I got to the altar, and Jesus was gingerbread. And then I started to worry. And I began to wonder, well, what am I going to do if I show up next week and Jesus is a chocolate muffin with sprinkles? Or even worse, rye bread. You see, because we have become so accustomed to a certain kind of thing each week, when it came out of the norm, I found myself thrown. And then worried. And then someone from the altar guild said, well, you know, what if she brings something with peanuts? And there's peanut allergies. Or something else that someone's allergic to, and someone keels over and dies right there on the altar. So in the end, I had to go and I had to ask her just to tone it down a bit. No peanuts, no nuts. Different flours was okay. And I found myself feeling really quite bad about it. I've often thought about that incident so many years ago as a reflection on our lives in Christ. And it came back to me again this week as I read the gospel text in the Gospel of John. Jesus had just pulled off a huge miracle. 5,000 people, he made them sit on the grass and they ate bread and fish and he taught them. And then the next day they're looking for Jesus, and when they find him, they say to him, you know, where have you been? And he responds and he says what's going on, and there they are, and he says, look, I know that you're not coming to me because you saw this great sign. You're coming to me because your bellies were full. You ate your fill of the loaves, and then Jesus surprises them. And he says, do not work for food that perishes, but for food that endures for eternal life. It rings almost like a condemnation. It's almost as if Jesus is saying to the people, look, you came here for the wrong reason, and now I'm going to tell you why you should be here. But I think there's something deeper there. These people who gathered around Jesus on the second day were the same exact people who had been there the week before in the feeding of the 5,000. And they had watched Jesus and the disciples gather up 12 baskets of leftovers. Keep in mind, these are the very leftover people that Andy preached about last week. They are the ones that were right there when the miracle happened. What's happening is that they really want in on it. And they ask Jesus, what must we do to perform the great works of God? And again, Jesus surprises them. He says to them, all you need to do, the great work that you need to do in God is simply to believe in the one whom God has sent. That's it. Wouldn't that be a great thing to put in our Constitution? What is going to be required of you as you join Lutheran Church of Honolulu? Well, we do have a list. It's not a very good list, but we have a list. But what if the only list was that you believe in the one whom God sent? No requirements about color or sexuality or passing the exam, which I do actually have one, on how well you've memorized the Apostles' Creed and its meaning in the small catechism. I cannot by my own faith or effort come to... Thank you. See, there's a couple of you mouthing it. You know it. You pass the test. The people gather around him the next day and they want even more, and Jesus surprises them. He surprises them by saying, look, you came for one kind of bread, but you got another. You came for the kind of bread that we eat, that fills us up. And I can tell you, I can leave beer and scotch and orange juice and everything else in the world alone, but not bread. This is why I think actually gluten-free diets are the work of the devil. And they come for more bread, and Jesus says, that's not it. You came for the bread, and you're going to get this bread, but it's going to be me. It's me, Jesus says. I am the bread that will give you true life. It's not what they expected. And in fact, they immediately go back to kind of their old way of thinking, and they say, but you know, what kind of sign are you going to do for us again? Because remember, at least Moses rained manna down from us, on us from heaven. Will you do that? And Jesus says, first of all, it wasn't Moses, it was God. And in the second place, I am going to give you bread forever. True life. For the bread that of God that is, comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. So I wonder what is the bread you are looking for today? You all come and you gather each week and you're looking for something. Are you looking for the great sign that will transform your life? Are you looking for comfort or help? It turns out from a recent Pew that what most of us are looking for when we come into a community of faith is sameness. We want to be with people who are like us. And I promise you, we want to know the liturgy. Scott? Every time we change something up, right? It's like, dude, this will be 2 months to get this by. But we find comfort in it, don't we? We find comfort in hearing the same things over again and knowing that the same people will be in the same place I'm totally upset that Bobby's not here because Steve's in his chair. It's just hard. And like the people of Israel who gather around Jesus, they're looking for what they've always had, and Jesus brings something more. I am the bread of life, he tells them. Not what you've always expected. Jesus keeps doing it. We come into Jesus' life expecting the same thing over and over again, and Jesus dashes our expectations with wine at a wedding, with a healing of a lame man, with touching a leper, care for the forgotten, choosing unexpected women and men to be his disciples. Jesus continually dashes our expectations with bread on a hill and pronouncements of faith. With telling each of us in our uniqueness and differentness and brokenness, Jesus says, I am the bread of life for you, for the community, for the world. And our response is maybe no different than that of the disciples or of the crowd who's gathered around Jesus that day. Upon hearing the promise, upon receiving the trust of God, that Jesus will rain down manna from heaven, God's love and God's presence and God's care for all time, they say to Jesus, Sir, give us this bread always. And he does. I think back to that first loaf when I broke it open and there were sesame seeds inside of it. And I remember thinking, this is not the bread from heaven. This is not what I expected. This isn't even quite right. But without even knowing it, our bread baker had given us the gospel. Had given us what we did not expect. Had broken us from our expectations and our comfort zone to find true bread. For the true bread comes in the eating and the drinking and the love, and the sign that God continues to have in and through and with us as the body of Christ. And in the trust that we establish with God and that God establishes with us, not just for the 40 years in the wilderness, but as Jesus says, for all time. Now, I don't know if that's the bread I want. Sometimes it's scary. Sometimes that bread is just too much. It's like chocolate muffins with sprinkles on it. I don't know if it's the bread that I want. But I'm pretty sure it's the bread that I need. Amen.